theology should lead to doxology, where we praise God because we realize that this grace that's been given to us was never earned, never merited. It was just His grace and mercy that was bestowed upon us. And from that doxology, we saw that we started a couple weeks ago into chapter 12, comes this commitment, my commitment to God. And how I live out this theology, this doxology, this praise, how is it that I live this out before the Lord? And we got to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, if you remember, where it says Paul had a negative and a positive. So often in his writings, that's how he wrote a negative. The negative was, don't be conformed to the world, remember? But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be metamorphosed. We said that's where that word comes. Be, man, we are, with this idea of being transformed, metamorphosized. Into what? In a child of God. And so as we got to that, that's the idea of a living sacrifice that He called us to be in verses 1 and 2. And then today, what is being a living sacrifice? What does it look like? And so I want us to think about that today as God transfigures our life and as He works in us and has us growing closer together. What does that look like in today's world? What does that look like in the body of Christ? What does that look like in our church? And I'm glad that we can answer those in God's Word today. And He requires His children this idea of being this living sacrifice. Well, I think being a living sacrifice comes with a proper view, some proper views this morning. And so I want us to think about that. Three principles of being a living sacrifice this morning. The first is a proper view of ourselves. A proper view of ourselves. The Word of God says, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, do not think more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Let me read that again. My brain is going about 10 miles, 1,000 miles an hour, and so my mouth is not catching up. Can you believe that? As much as I talk, let's read the Word of God again. It says, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." We ought to have a proper view of ourselves if we're going to be a living sacrifice. And again, there's the negative and positive that Paul, I said, he likes to teach that way. What's the negative? "To everyone who is among you, not to think." Now, he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. We established that in the last time we preached, beginning in 12, 1 and 2. He's talking to the church, those that call themselves by the name of Christ. "It's to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." What's Paul saying? Don't overestimate yourself. That word "more highly" is translated superthink. Superthink. Don't superthink about yourself. Or hyperthink. You say, what do you mean? Don't get hyper about yourself. Okay? We don't have any problem. Listen, don't overestimate yourself. Remember the Roman church and why he's been speaking to them. The Jew-Gentile conflict. And so you had this constant battle. You had this constant like they were, who's more important? Who's more important in this church? Nobody. Christ. He's the only one that's important. And so if we're not careful, we get in this competition that we'll see in 1 Corinthians. They had a real thing going. It was like a athletic contest, right? Whose team are we on? We're on a Jesus team, right? We're all working together and everybody's important. And so he says, don't think more highly of yourself. And this probably was a problem within the church. Is this a problem within our churches? Yes, why? Because we're here. We're human beings and that's what we do. We don't have a problem thinking about ourselves. Let's just be honest this morning. We don't have a problem thinking about ourselves, do we? And you know what? It'll manifest itself in a couple ways. We're fallen, and so we have this problem, and it'll manifest. How? Well, first would be the self-conscious bragger. Say, what are you talking about? How smart they are, how great, they don't even know, how smart they are, how great they are, and I like Donnie had brought it up, in their mind, that's how they think. We call them they're a legend in their own mind. And most people that are like that don't even realize they're that way. In fact, they'll say they think they're self-humble, But really, they are constantly exalting, and we find our self-worth that way if we're not careful. We want to talk about how good we are at something or how we do something, or we all want to constantly, instead of giving God the glory for everything, we want to fit in. And our world teaches us that they give you all this self-help motivation. Donnie was talking about as they taught it in his school. They're still teaching it. Donnie, secular humorism. We're the top of the heap. Mankind. All we need is more education. How's that working? We're the most educated people in the world. How's that working? You turn on your news. How's it working? Constant. Man, it's this elevation of human. In fact, we should be down. We should elevate God, put him in his proper place. And so people have this idea, you know, that we've got to fit in. In order to fit into our society, we have to be confident about ourselves. Come on, ain't many of us buy into that. We have to be calm. You got to have a calm. You got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. You've heard me say this. I love this one. Just follow your heart. My Bible says it's deceitfully wicked above everything. You want to follow that? You better follow the Holy Spirit and God in your life. That's what we are to follow. And so the self-conscious bragger, that's negative. But another thing is, before we go on, is that the self-ridiculer. You ever saw that person? He's just a nobody. You ever seen that person? Oh, I'm just a nobody. No, I can't do it. You know, though, somebody will say something good and those kind of things. And we're just nobodies, and we're always cutting ourselves down. And the truth be known, you know what they're wanting to say? They're wanting you to say, oh, that's not true. Let's be honest. That self-ridicule, he wants you to say, no, you're not like that. You're whatever. You know what we need to say? You're exactly right. See how that goes over. See, you'll get the reaction. You'll see what I'm talking about. It reveals itself. And so he's talking about this negative, this proper view of ourselves, but also a positive. He gives us that when he says what? He says, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so this thinking soberly is to think with sound judgment. With sound judgment. I know when we hear sober, we think about drinking. Ted, y'all be ashamed. I'll tell on you. We came into revival every night. He'd say, hey, how you doing, brother? I'm sober today. I say, well, thank you, Ted. I'm so glad. The next night he say, I'm still sober. We think of sober in that mindset, but he's talking about sound judgment. He's talking about it as to have sound judgment, to think with sound judgment. And look at the last part of this verse, which I think is really key to the whole thing and understand it when he says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What is it saying? It's not saying this, and you'll hear this preached a lot on TV and things, that as your faith increases, greater will your abilities increase. That's wrong teaching. That's not what he's saying here. In fact, the word measure would be better translated standard. Your standard of faith. What is our standard of faith? It's the standard of Christ. Our standard is Christ. He said, by your standard, Christ is who we should measure ourselves by. On the basis of everything we do is on the basis of Christ. And when we see him as our standard, you know what? We're not going to overestimate ourselves, are we? When Christ is our standard, how could you ever overestimate yourself when he's the one that you're putting over there to compare yourself to? Let's put it in those terms. He's our standard. Listen, the cure for overestimating ourselves is the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do away with comparing ourselves to others. You're not measuring up to somebody else. You're measuring up to him. That's our standard. And when we do that, we're not going to overestimate ourselves, are we? We're going to find ourselves desiring to be more Christ-like. Focus on Christ. That's the goal of being a living sacrifice. It's humility. It's not any pride. How can we be proud of anything? Listen, let me ask you that question. How can we be proud? It was his grace. It was his mercy. It was his faith that saved us. And for a purpose. That focus is to be on Christ. And that's the idea. That's one of our goals as a living sacrifice. Our theology should lead us to doxology, to praise. And then in turns, it leads us to our commitment to him. And then it reorients our thinking to what? Of ourselves to the standard of Christ. Nobody else. We measure to him. that focuses and keeps us focused on ourselves. When we have a proper view of ourselves. And when we think about ourselves properly, we will think properly about what? About others, the next. Listen to what it says. A proper view of others, verses 4 and 5. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So when we get our proper thinking of ourselves right, then we can look at others. Look around. This is your church family. This is what was called the body of Christ. What a great view when he talks about the anatomy of the human body and how he compares us here as that. That's his illustration, and he's talking about having this proper view. And if our standard is Christ, then our standard then will in turn will think rightly about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want us to think about three characteristics of the body of Christ. What is it? Unity. First, what does he say? So we being many members in one body. We're many. Look around. We're many of us here. But the reality is that we're one. We're one in what? We're one in Christ. That standard. How? Same nature. Holy Spirit of God dwells in the believers. We have the same nature. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the thing that ties us together. And if you think about John 15 when he says, I am the vine, you are what? The branches. We're branches in the vine together. And then I like 2 Peter 1:4 says that we're partakers of what? The divine nature. We have something that draws us together that we talk about blood kin a lot in the mountain, right? We're kin. You know, like, man, there's a lot of y'all all crossed up, man. I'm telling you, everybody's kin to each other, right? And I was talking about dust, you know, it came from the clan, you know, the clan settled as far as the Scottish and all that came over, you know, and settled. And kin is close, man, and you stay. There's nothing wrong with being close to the people that you are relatives with. It's no bad, and to know each other and all that, but there's something here that supersedes that in this group of believers, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. We're blood kin. Blood of Jesus Christ. And that nature ties us all together. So there's a common factor here within the many of us that are gathered in this room today. And that factor is Christ. It's that unity. It's that unity that brings us together. And if you remember, Christ prayed in his high priestly prayer, and he's before he left, and his disciples, and he prayed for their unity and our unity. And he said that they would be one just as he and the Father were one. He says, I in them and they in me. Man, there's this unity that we can see from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says that same unity is within the body of Christ that we are to draw together. What will that keep us from doing? Will keep us from desiring and pleasing ourselves, won't it? It brings us to one, and I'm going to tell you, this is probably the greatest key factor in the modern church that we've lost, because the individualism of America and our culture tells you to be individual, that you are to stand as, just like Donnie said, secular humanism says that, you know, you're the top of the heap, you got to take care of yourself, it's that survival of the jungle, right? You got to take care and all this, and so it pulls us apart when God says in his body that we're one, and we come in unity, and we come for a purpose, and that is to bring him glory. And you know what that'll do? That'll keep you from fighting over the carpet. That'll keep you from getting upset over little penny Annie things. Why? That's who we are without Christ, and that's who we can be if we don't keep him first. We'll fuss and argue about everything that doesn't mean anything. Satan's won when he does that. God says for us to have unity. But not only that, but we're diversity. We can look around and see that. They ain't all of you good looking as some of the other ones, right? You think about the same God that made a rhinoceros, he made a butterfly. Think about that. How wild that was. How'd you like to be old Adam trying to name it and say, wait a minute, butterfly, and then here comes a rhinoceros. That's God. He's so diverse. He made you diverse. So we have diversity. Look what it says. It says, but all the members do not have the same function. We are a body. We're not all a hand. We're not all a foot. We're not all an eye. We're not all an ear. He made you diverse. But yet one, the unity and diversity. I love what F.F. Bruce said about this. He said, diversity is not uniformity. It is the mark of God's handiwork. When you look around and we can see the difference, that's to bring God glory, to praise God. I'm glad everybody's not like me. And somebody better say amen quick. Amen. Thank you, Lee. I thought I'd get it out of Sandy, but she missed it. I'm glad we're not all the same. Why? He brings us unity with diversity. He made us diverse. He made us special. Nobody, look, 7.4 billion people in the world, nobody has, you're made special. Nobody has your DNA makeup. Nobody has that. God made you, and we know that old illustration of the snowflake. No two snowflakes are the same. Man, we're all together. God made you special just like that. He made us special and for a reason, and that's to bring God glory. And we're going to see we have a variety of gifts too. So unity and diversity, and it's revealed, this unity is revealed in our diversity, that we come together for a common purpose. And when we look to Christ as our standard, you know what? We're liberated from ourselves. True individuality comes from Christ. Free to be ourselves and to let others be themselves in Christ. That's where true freedom comes from. We have unity, but we have diversity for a purpose, to bring Him glory. But lastly, look, mutuality. And what's mutuality? The sharing of a feeling, action, or relationship between two or more parties. We have this thing mutual. And look what the Scripture says. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. That's our memory verse. So we have unity, but we're diverse, but we have this mutuality. We have something for a purpose and a common why God brought us together. And what's that, man? To make much of Christ, to glorify Him as we work together. How does that look, David? One rejoices, we all rejoice. One hurts, we all hurt. That's true. That's what the church should be today. We're not in competition when we see God blessed. Man, we should be out front praising God for whatever He's doing in our brothers and sisters' lives. Not to get upset and wish, oh, why didn't He do it for me? He did in a sense if that's part of your body. Do you understand? That's the individualism that comes out. It'll come out every time in our own pride and selfishness. Let me give you an example. We had a... The revival was, what, a couple weeks ago, and Tim was up here, and so we'd wait and eat late. Now, old people just don't eat too late, okay? Young people, you're good with that. Y'all can go anywhere and eat anything at any time. I've lost that, okay? I'll just be honest with you. What? We went to Dos Amigos. It was about 9 o'clock, okay? Let me take the jacket off on this one. We went to Dos Amigos about 9 o'clock. And Bumble, he eats there a lot, him and Manny says anywhere but Dos Amigos is her thing. So Bumble was there, and I said, what's a good thing to eat? I'm always wanting to try something different. Carnitas, he said. Carnitas. It was pork. It was a plate of pork. Now, it was delicious, don't get me wrong. But old big boy here eating at 9:30 at night, and I went home, and I laid down, right, to go to sleep, because that's usually what you do after you eat a big old plate of Mexican food, right? I lay down. I woke up with heartburn that could kill an elephant. I'm serious. I woke up with heartburn. And you know, I want to show you something. The rest of my body was so upset about that heartburn that it stayed up all night to keep me company. That's how the body should be. We share. Listen, if He calls us a body, somebody hurts, we all hurt. We're doing life and death together. Let's just be honest. We're doing life and death together. How many people have we seen pass from that set these pews? How many people, we have hardships, we go through life, but when we're going through it together, man, that gives you, you know what that does? I don't know about you, but that gives me this lift. Why? Because I understand what God did. He took unity and diversity, and He took mutuality, and He said, this is my body. Represent me where? Right here in South Fork Baptist Church, in Todd community, and around the world. We are to represent Him. And we are to do life and death together and to encourage one another. And when we see ourselves correctly, you know, there's no Lone Rangers in Christianity. There's not. Well, I'm just going to sit at home and watch Charles Stanley today. How does that work in our unity and our diversity and our mutuality? God calls us together, look at us, as a group, to represent Him. What a privilege. And when we keep the mutualness of Him being glorified through everything that we do, we put ourselves behind and we put Him first and we go forward in Jesus' name. That's beautiful, folks. That's what the church is supposed to be in the world today. And so we see this when we see ourselves correctly, we see the body of Christ correctly, and we see our unity and diversity and mutuality correctly. We're sharing life together. Then you know what we'll see? We'll see our gifts properly. And I wanted you to look at that last. A proper view of our gifts in verses 6 through 8. Listen to what the Word of God says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, I want us to understand this morning, God's brought us all together, and everybody sitting in this room that's a member of this church, that's a member of the body of Christ, has a spiritual gift. You say, what? What, Dave? I don't have a gift. Then you're calling the Bible and the Lord Jesus a liar. Are you doing that this morning? That's what it says. It says that you read it yourself. What did it say? Having then gifts different according to the grace that's given us. That's everybody has a gift here this morning. For what reason? To bring the unity, diversity, and the mutuality together to represent Jesus Christ. We have differing gifts. And I don't believe he's listing off this gifts, this big list of gifts. And a lot of times that's what they'll do with this. I think you can find whatever your gift is, you can find it there in other places. But it's not so much the gift, it's the understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it. He lists another list in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28 also. But Here's what you'll get. Pastor, you need to help me find my gifts. I want you to know something. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I can help and we can help and all, but you know what we're doing? If we're not careful, we'll make it Zodiac Christianity. Well, he's a Pisces. He's an Aries. You know what our people do, Zodiac, right? You can't do that with God. I can't say, well, Lee, you're a teacher, or Donnie, you do this, you do that. It's not my place to do that as your leader. I'm to shepherd you and to help you, but if the Holy Spirit dwell within you, if you're a child of God, he will reveal your gift to you. If you seek it and find it, he'll show you that thing. We're not supposed to be pointing out, well, that person, that. And what, you know what we'll do? We pigeonhole a lot of people because some people have multiple gifts to offer the Lord. You say, well, I wish I was on it. No, you be who God called you to be with your gift. He gave you that for a purpose. And remember, again, it's not to say, I wish I was like Lee. Had all that good hair, could grow that scruffy beard every week. No, I'm serious. I mean, we do that. That's what we'll do. And we, instead of us just enjoying people for who they are and how God, the freedom is within that environment to use your gift. Why? Because you're just as important as anybody else and everybody else. The toe, you cut your little toe off or your big toe and see how that does and affects the rest of your body. It's pretty important. Cut your thumb off and see what you do with that. It's important to be a thumb. It's important to be an eye. It's important to be an ear. It's important to be the organs that we have inside. Wherever your place is that fits in the body, that's what we are to be and to represent God through that. And he lifts off all these graces that he gives his church. We're highly talented right here in this room. God's given us everything that we need to function as the body of believers for him. The problem is that we're not using them, that we buy into what Satan says. I don't have gifts. You do. And you use them. And we show up together and we do life and death together. And we honor God through it and we do these things. And so the church doesn't give you your gift, okay? It doesn't give you your gift. God does. We don't bestow, come forward, we're bestowing this gift of prophecy on you. No, that ain't how it works. The church doesn't bestow that gift. But the church is the place to use your gift. And it's to be used in the church, in the body. Sanctity of the body is what we're losing as a body of believers. We're losing the sanctity of this body. Yes, we gather. Yes, but there's so much more to be unified in diversity and mutual and bringing Christ, using your gift within the body. You know what? It'll keep you from being a consumer. Well, we don't have any problem with that in America, do we? Consumer mentality. It's not what I can get, it's what I can what? Give. What can I give to my body? What can I give? God's brought me here. For what purpose? Use your gift to bring Him glory. That's what He's talking about. What's your gift, and using that gift and allowing Christ to work through you to bring Him much glory. To burn and do life and death together, right here. To burn white hot for Him right here in the community of Todd. Do you not think that this community doesn't desperately need you? It does, and it needs for us to stand on the principles of God's Word in love and to reach out and to reach our community. God adds to His church for a purpose. He's growing His church for a reason. Not just that we can come and be entertained, but that we can come and use our gifts and grow and worship and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. And you know what? You'll find your true fulfillment in that, in serving what? Serving the body. Some of you are missing. You're looking out. You're saying, man, I'm missing this. I need this. You'll go to a career. You'll go to a relationship. You'll go to something to try to fulfill. You're saying, I'm missing out on something. And what it is, you're missing out on that fulfillment of using your gift within the body of Christ and using it for His glory. We say that's not important. No, I didn't see them say that this one's more important than the other. Did you see that in that list that he listed off? No. They're all important. Everybody's important sitting in this room. From the greatest to the least. Teaching our kids that's what church looks like. And making much of Christ in this body. Well, applications and we'll be done. Linda, if you would, please come play. How do you see yourself this morning? How do you see yourself this morning? What is your assessment as you fit within the body of Christ? Number two. Do you have a proper perspective of what church is and what church is not? That plays out in how we use our gifts and how we do church. A proper perspective. The body. Number three, what is your gift or gifts? And are you using them for the betterment of the body? Say, Dave, I really hadn't ever thought about it. I never thought about what do I have to offer. That's all right. Not to beat you up. Just let God work on you and say, Lord, how can I use my gifts? How can I use myself here that you've brought? How can you use me for the betterment of this body of the whole? How can you use me, Lord Jesus? Let's all stand on our feet. What's the Lord saying to you? Maybe, listen, if somebody's here that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, man, you're scratching your head saying, I didn't get any of that. What's he talking about? It's because you don't have a relationship with Christ. If the Lord Jesus has spoke to you and say, you know what, I'm missing that, come forward just as soon as I give you the invitation. Say, come on forward. Why? Because the time is limited. And when God speaks to you, respond to that. What about somebody else that would say, hey, you know what? I really hadn't looked at church in the proper way. I need to say, you know what, God? You've brought me here. Why? What is it you want me to do? And I'm just saying today, hey, Lord, here I am available. Use me. Use me, Lord. Whatever the Lord says to you, close your eyes and bow your head. What has God said to you? No singing, just playing. How has He spoken to you? Before God right now, you're standing before the Lord. Are you using your gifts for this church? Are you just showing up on Sunday morning saying, you know what? This is what I think. This is all I've ever known. Mom and Daddy showed me this. Grandma and Grandpa, you know what? You can supersede that by the Word of God says, this is, I brought you here for a purpose. What is my purpose? And how am I using my gift? What has the Lord said to you? Some are here on the altar. What about you? It's a time of response. Do you surrender all this morning? It's a great song. Easy said, harder to live. Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Look here. You can get saved right where you're at by receiving the Lord Jesus and His payment for your sin. It's not walking an aisle that makes you saved. It's the receiving of Jesus Christ. And if you've done that, you let me know. I promise you're going to let somebody know that, though. You're going to make that known. But if it's, you know, if the Lord works on you, please let me know. I'm here for that, and I want you guys to be fulfilled in the Lord. Make sure and come back tonight. Don't forget our Vacation Bible School. Do you have that pulled up, Caleb? I want to say, everybody sit down for just a second. Look, we still got a couple minutes too, so you're good. You'll beat the Methodist still.
Hi there, I'm Jesse, the founder of TrueLife.org, and we're here at Thomas Road Baptist Church to help show you how easy it is to evangelize and invite people with these TrueLife.org invitation cards.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? Good to see you guys. Happy to be here. Thank you for coming. So we're encouraging evangelism and invitation in churches, not just Thomas Road Baptist Church, but your church as well. I'm sure your pastor probably gave you a TrueLife.org card today to hand out. And these cards are so unique because it takes the fear away from evangelism and invitation. That means that we don't have to be afraid of the questions that might be asked or the time that's going to take or not having a starting point. What if the recipient is afraid of going to church? Well, they can easily go online and get free video answers to questions like, how do we get the Bible? Why do bad things happen? Where do you go when you die? Does God love gay people? Is Mormonism true? Are Jehovah's Witnesses right? And the list goes on and on for any worldview. And then, of course, they can easily find your church on the Church Finder. Hey, Will, so we're pulling up to a gas station right now, and all I need you to do is just go out and simply say, hey, I'd love to have you come to my church on Sunday. If you have any questions, you can go online and get video answers, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. God bless you. I'm praying for you, okay?
Let's see what happens.
Hi, excuse me. How you ladies doing?
Good.
Yeah, I don't know if you go to a church anywhere in the area, but I'd like to invite you to Thomas Road Church. See here, and if you don't have any time to make it to church right yet, you can see on the back TrueLife.org where you get free video answers to life's hard questions. And there's all kinds of different videos on there to answer questions that people have, like is there a God, why do we suffer, and things like that. So take a look at it. Remember, the Lord loves you.
Hey, well. Do you feel better right now? I mean, do you feel relieved that, you know, at first you feel like a little bit...
A little nervous at first, yeah. But now I know I've given opportunity to people to find answers in God's Word, and that's exciting, you know?
That's awesome. Well, you did a great job.
And they seem to be very open to it.
Sure. Would you suggest the same for people watching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go out and do it. It's easy.
Katrina, it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
Have some fun.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm a good nose, though.
You are? Yeah, I'm a little nervous for you, too. I know you're going to do well, though.
Because I've never done this before. I always wanted to, but I'm nervous, but I'm going to do it.
I'm praying for you, sister. I know you're going to do fun. Here we are. This is good. Hey, want to talk? You can talk to her.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. I would love to come. You to come to my church next week.
I don't go to church.
You know, you can go online too if you want to. Yeah. Okay. God bless you. So what you do is you keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
And someone else will take the card.
Yeah.
Since she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to church?
Sometimes.
Oh, great. That's good. So I would love to see you. I mean, come over to my church next week. And if you're not ready, you can always go onto this website, like truelife.org. And there are some free video answers.
Okay.
There are a lot of questions we have sometimes. And there are a lot of videos explaining those questions. And you can always go and check those videos and have the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. It was nice meeting you. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
Man, we had a great time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina surprised me. I mean, I knew she was going to do good, but she did really, really good.
Thank you.
You did.
Well, you know what happened? Initially, there was one lady who didn't want to take the card.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to come to church. And I was really, you know. But then I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And he was with me, and we went on ahead, and we gave the cards to a lot of people. And surprisingly, it wasn't really hard. And
no.
They were really receptive, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yes, well, I'm so thankful
that you just did my job. I don't have to explain nearly as much anymore to you back in the sanctuaries. We're not a different person than you. We are made in God's image just like you are, and every Christian has the opportunity to do this. And I can promise you from the bottom of my heart that there is nothing better than to share your faith with people. So I'm challenging you today, share your faith, hand out these cards, and see what God can do in your life and in the lives of others.
The interesting thing about Jesse is I met him on a trip down to New Orleans. He's a friend of mine. When Katrina, the hurricane, came through, then I thought that girl's name was Katrina. I thought that was interesting. But we'd work all day rebuilding the seminary. But then he'd see, hey, who wants to go out and street evangelize in downtown Bourbon Street? And it would be but a handful of us would go out. And we go out and share our faith. And so he's not asking you to do something that he hadn't lived. And I thought that was really interesting that our paths crossed again. And then we have this card. Deb, just because of you asking that, I thought, what a great thing. We need a church card. Keep them with you. We'll have them back there, hand out. Keep them with you and just invite people. But not just invite people to church, but use it as a tool to share your faith. Why? Because that's the most important thing that we can do. Because the time is closing. And the time's winding down, and the world needs Jesus. And they ain't going to get, the only way they're going to know about him is if you tell them about it, okay? Lee, lead us in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.